Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What is the quarterback tax? You've heard a lot of people talk about it, that you have to pay more to go up and get a quarterback in the NFL draft. But how much more? What does the historical data tell us? Well, we're going to jump into that, and then we're going to do another mock draft. I know you guys are used to mock drafts every Monday. There's so much for us to talk about. It's hard to do one every week, but we're going to dedicate almost the entire episode to doing one here tonight. Welcome to the Real Forno Show.
Welcome to the Real Forno Show, hosted by Tyler Fornes, the managing editor of USA Today's Vikings Wire, writer for the College Football Network, publisher of Substack, Run In Shooter, host of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungry on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, as well as a founding member of Vikings First and Skull.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Real Forno Show. I am your host, Tyler Fortis. With me, as always, in the top right corner is producer Dave, and somewhere down by my feet is Mr. Odie Boy. We're going to have a good show here tonight. And we let off the show talking about the quarterback tax. Quarterback tax is a very interesting idea. And the idea being that, hey, you're going to have to pay more to get a quarterback. And that is true. But how much more? And what can history tell us about that data? And how can we quantify it? Well, I'm a sicko, so I dove into that data. And I will make it easy so you don't have to. So what I did was I looked at trades from the past 13 years. 13 seems like a weird number. But when you look back 13 years ago, that is when the Washington Commanders traded 6, 2 future firsts, and pick 39 to move up to second overall to go get Robert Griffin III. So that was the year I started. Because that trade was felt like a major lopsided win for the Rams. And it ended up helping build that defensive front strong enough where they ended up making a Super Bowl in 2018 after they got the quarterback. So that's why we ended up moving it back. Just going back that far. I didn't do want to do 10 years. I wanted to kind of look at where things shifted. And that was 2012. So what I found out was there were 10 trades that involved quarterbacks going into the top 10 and 4 trades that didn't. And we took a look at the Rich Hill trade chart. So I approach it in two ways. One, historically, picks in future years are devalued. What does that mean? If you have the 16th pick on the Rich Hill trade chart, it is worth 305 points. You devalue it by a round per year. So that means it would be valued, a 2025 first would be valued at the second round pick. And I always use middle of the round just to keep averages right, keep it consistent across the board. And that's 121 points. So you are looking at a 184 point difference between those picks. And that point total, I believe, is the 32nd overall pick. I don't have the trade chart up. I probably should, because, well, let's just be real. We're gonna have a lot of conversations about this trade chart. And why the Rich Hill trade chart? It's built specifically. Yeah, 184 is the 32nd overall pick. So that's the difference between 16 and 48. But the Rich Hill trade chart is built specifically on historical trade practices with draft picks. So if Dave and I make a trade involving draft picks, that's going to be built in that history, because that's how we are valuing these picks. And that's why we are making this trade, because we feel it is a fair trade for our side. So that's how I did it. I did one where you devalue the picks in future years and one where you don't. And I have two columns. So based on when you devalue picks in future years, it ended up being negative 107 points for quarterbacks. A negative. And negative 107 points, that means you are essentially giving up the 52nd overall pick if you devalue the picks. Whereas if you don't devalue the picks, you gain 246 points. That's a significant amount of capital worthy of the 23rd overall pick. So just depending on how you value future picks, and there's so many different ways to look at it. If a draft class is good, then the picks hold more value. If the draft class is bad, they hold less value. So that's why we just do the law of averages. And because when you're looking back at past data, I don't want to get marred in opinion. I don't want to get marred in trying to figure out what was thought of the draft class going in, because what was thought of the draft class going in versus what actually happened are completely different things. And in order to get that kind of proper data, you have to do a lot of research and look back at social media trends. You have to read a lot of articles. We're just going to keep it relatively simple. Okay. So that's pretty significant to give away the 52nd overall pick versus gaining the 23rd. On the flip side, when you have non-quarterback, it is when you devalue the picks, you're giving up, sorry, you're getting 40.75 points. 40.75 points is, let's see, my computer's being extra slow today. I ordered a new computer because four of my keys aren't working. So that is extra fun too. Woohoo. Dave was making fun of me because it's not a Mac computer, but I'm not rich. I don't have a Mac. So that 40th pick, the 40 points would be the 95th overall pick. And when you don't devalue the picks, it's 261. So essentially, it's almost negligible, where it's the 135th overall pick difference if you don't devalue the picks. That's the tax. You're not exactly getting a significant amount back. And it's a little bit, but I'll have to reformulate this because I think I screwed up my math, and there's a very possible chance that I did.
Not you. Math boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I screwed up my math.
All right. We need to get Luke Braun in here. He's the math expert. that everybody cheats off in class.
You know what's hilarious? I used to be phenomenal at math. Absolutely phenomenal. But then I hit pre-calc and I lost it all.
You got to use it on a daily basis. When I was designing buildings, it all came back and it was boom, boom, boom in the head. But if you don't use it, it gets rusty. Simple, simple.
Okay. So when you devalue the picks,
Aaron suggests we use the calculator.
I did. I just used my calculator on my phone. Smartphones are great. It's 147 point loss if you don't devalue picks. 147 points is the 41st overall pick. So you're giving up the 41st overall pick when it comes to the quarterback task or tax. That's not a tax. That's winning. If you are making the trade, if you are trying to trade up, you are gaining value. But if you are trading, if you are not devaluing the picks and you're keeping them, you're losing out on a fifth round pick. So in essence, the quarterback tax really doesn't exist in a tangible format that we would think. I think it's more of a myth and more of something that you think it's going to be a tax, but it's not. And let me tell you, that's wild to think about. It's David, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I see a bunch of negativity in the remarks. People, oh no, we got holes. We got to pay these people. We got to do this. We got to do that. Don't you want to win a Super Bowl? That's my question. Got to find that quarterback. Quarterback covers up more holes than does drafting an edge player. Simple. So That's why I were built up enough to take said quarterback. We have the weapons for him. We have an offensive line that is, we got bookend tackles, whether the interior is up to snuff or not, that's debatable. But they're in place to take that quarterback. So now I think is the time. And we don't know what next year's draft class for quarterbacks is going to be. Will it be as deep? Or the year after, right? So go for it now. We're selecting. The Vikings have what? Signed 17 or 18 players already? Now, granted, most of them are depth pieces that'll provide competition in training camp, you know, that you don't expect to start. We did sign some starters. I figured about five-ish. But the most are going to be competition. And we need those. You need that on a football team for the final 53 or the 90 going into camp. So I think now's the right time to make the move if I was crazy.
Yeah. It is time to make the move. And as I realized that I made a big boo-boo in my piece in real time, and we have since fixed it, which is also important. We can kind of talk about, look, quarterback tax in itself isn't real compared to what we thought just because of what the data has shown us. And it's a relatively small sample size, 10 trades for quarterbacks and 4 trades not for quarterbacks when you're talking about moving up. And some of the data also is skewed a little bit because 2 trades for quarterbacks and 1 trade not for a quarterback did not include future picks. So when you're talking about the trade devaluing or not devaluing future picks, well, when there's no picks to value or devalue, you can't actually use that. So it was only 8-3 for that side. But we have 13 years of data to kind of look at it and see, okay, are the Vikings going to realistically pay more? They could. And when we look at some of the trades, if you don't devalue the picks, Some of the people that are giving up, they're giving up 492 points, which is the value of the 4th overall pick. They are giving up let's look at some of the other totals as soon as my laptop decides, hey, let's not be slow. 199 points. I'm actually going to move this onto a different screen just because I'm losing my mind here. Great podcasting, let me tell you. Great podcasting, me looking at my computer screen. Ha ha. Come on. Intentionally. There we go. Okay. Like giving up the 199 points, 30th overall pick. 333 points. That's gaining 13. 251, gaining the 22nd. Like 342, gaining the 12th overall pick. Like some of them have been where that you are getting a lot back in return. And you're giving up significant capital to make that trade up. But it's not always consistent, and it's not something that's cyclical from year to year where I can say, hey, you're going to give up this much or you're going to get back this much. It's a very inconsistent formula. And when you take a look, and the article is on VikingsWire.USA.com, if you want to go check it out, it's on the homepage. Some of the data is just wild because one trade, they lost 244 points by devaluing picks, and then they gained 36. That's a significant difference. The Bears trade last year with the Panthers, if you devalue picks, they lost 260 points, which is the 21st overall pick. But if you don't devalue picks, they only gained 20. And 20 points, pick 125 in the fourth round. So honestly, I don't truly believe in a quarterback tax. I don't think one exists in a medium of that is a super, that's something that's tangible that we can actually point our finger to. Hey, you're going to pay this much. I just don't see it. I see it in any form of consistency.
It may not be consistent, but I think it deals with supply and demand. Say we were talking before the show started that Arizona wants the Harrison kid from Ohio State, the wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., third, whatever he is, which makes perfect sense to get the best wide receiver coming out. Yes, they want him. Well, what if the Giants, who needs a quarterback, says, hey, we want your spot. We'll let you fall to our spot. And you still got a good chance for him, but we want your spot. And then Arizona calls us at 4 and says, hey, Giants are offering us this. You need to better this. And then they go back and forth in that 120 seconds or whatever there to raise the price. That's how some of those trades, the price gets stupid. Whether it be three first rounders for to move up to for Trey Lance or whatever it is, right? Because supply and demand dictate that it's more than just what the straight hill chart says. So is that going to happen this year? We don't know. I fear that. I fear that the Giants are going to be players and try to. Do they have enough oomph to get up that high? Well, that's a different question, right? The Vikings set themselves up well and thought about this, and they have the two first rounders to throw in there this year, which has more value than the first next and the first after that. So it's going to be interesting. And if you look back at all those trades you were talking about, what was the demand? And I think if you figure out what the demand was for each of those, were there other teams involved, and the ones that seemed to have traded more to get that pick, I'll bet there was a higher demand.
Here's the thing. There's really no way of going back and knowing. And that's why when I took a look at this data, I didn't even try to go look at those pieces of information. I didn't, because a lot of that is all rumor based. And the only way I would know directly is if X team was involved is if the team that made the trade back ended up telling us, or a reporter reported it. This is just trying to look in a vacuum to see, hey, how much more are teams actually paying to go up and get that quarterback? And it's it's more of a baseline than something that's should be super concrete and like this is gospel, because as you said, there's so many different factors that you need to consider, like demand, like how good the quarterbacks are, how good the class is. Are there other teams that are trying to go get that guy? This is just straight up. Can we see any proof based on the trades that were made that there is a quarterback tax, and what is it? And right now, there is no proof that there is a quarterback tax. In fact, you could argue that teams are actually paying a little bit less for quarterbacks based on the Rich Hill trade chart. So that's all I was trying to kind of find out, is just in a vacuum, because there's so many variables. And looking at every single variable would take weeks, and trying to parse all that out. So it's just, hey, based on the trades, what can we find out? Now, if we want to go back and look, hey, this quarterback class is really strong, because I even mentioned it, one of the non-quarterback trades, the Dolphins only gave up pick 42 to go from 12 to 3. It was in the 2013 draft, considered a very weak draft, and they got a defensive end. That was the draft where EJ Manuel went 16th overall, and another quarterback did not go until the second round. I believe that was Geno Smith. So, like, there are different things to kind of look at, but to me, right now, based on everything I've seen, there's no quarterback tax. It's you're going to pay because this is a really good draft, and there's no hardcore data that says you're paying extra for a quarterback. Now, if somebody wants to present me with data, I'll gladly listen, but I use the Rich Hill trade chart pretty much exclusively because it's based on historical data, and it's based on how teams have made trades with the draft picks. To me, that is the absolute best way to kind of take a look at it. Yes, thank you, Cameron. It's the best way to kind of take a look at how things matter long-term moving forward. I also wanted to point out, with the Chicago Bears trade last year, I valued DJ Moore as a mid-second round pick. So if anybody had questions about that, just because I think DJ Moore was worth a mid-second round pick on his own. So that's what I would value him in a trade. With that being said, if you want to take a look at the article, go please do. And it is all updated to, you know, not include my stupid mistakes. But with that being said, Dave, we usually do them on Mondays, but we've been so busy talking about all kinds of other things, we've changed, and we're doing mock drafts on Wednesdays.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Vikings First and Skulls Mock Draft Mondays. Who will the Vikings pick? And who's your favorite choice?
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Let's mock draft. So what I'm going to do here is I want to make a trade to get to number 3 overall. And we're going to do another one where we trade to number 5 at some point here in the future, probably next week. But the whole goal about trying to do these simulations now that we have all the information we do about them, hey, they are going to try and trade up. They have already acquired the 23rd overall pick to try and make a trade up. So how are we going to impact things? How are we going to see how this is going to work? And for me, I think a likely scenario is the Vikings end up making a trade with the New England Patriots to go get one of their guys at third overall. Dave, you've got the seven rounds. Let's select the Vikings and let's go. Yeah, Odie just moved over and he's just a tired boy. Yeah, you're so good, Odie. Sorry, nobody has a camera that could see Odie. My office is a little messy right now. I'm not going to move the camera. But he's a very good boy.
Come on, in the draft.
You have to click 11, don't you?
Yeah, I did. It's just being stupid. Okay. Got it set to medium.
Okay, so what I'd want to do here, Dave, is change the Chicago Bears to the New England Patriots, and let's make that trade now. So we're gonna take pick three. We're gonna give up 12, 23, and next year's third. And we'll kind of see how that works. So here's how that looks on the Rich Hill trade chart. The Patriots pick is 514 points. The Vikings picks are 358 and 245. Right there is a win based on the Rich Hill trade chart. However, precedent over the last couple of years, 12-3 has cost the Houston Texans 12-33, a first round pick and a third round pick. So 33 is basically a first round pick because it was also in the same draft. And then you have the San Francisco 49ers giving up 12, a future first, a future third, and another future first. So you're talking about significant amounts of draft capital to go up from 12-3. This is 11-3. So I think the baseline starting here is this, what we've offered right here. 11, 23, and a third. I think what'll end up happening is you take the third off and you make it next year's first. But then from the Patriots, you get next year's third. This is what I think a trade would look like, because I don't think the Vikings would give like straight up do the three first round picks. But I do think they would if they got something kicked back in return. Look at the TJ Hockenson trade. They basically gave up the 72nd overall pick. They gave up a second and a third, but they got back 2/4. And getting back 2/4 was key. So they just gave them a high pick swap to get TJ Hockenson. They never actually gave up picks.
They took what you suggested. So
perfect.
Start the draft. Caleb Williams goes first. Jaden Daniels goes second. We're on the clock. Drake May.
And this is the perfect scenario. This is the Drake May spot. And I did a lot of work on Drake May, talking about who he is, what he can be, and all those things. But the big thing with Drake May to me, he's got weird footwork. Let me kind of explain why. When you look at it, watch him running quick game. So three-step drop, fire. Great. Absolutely fantastic. He is very smooth in rhythm, but the second he has to do like a longer drop back or run through progressions, his footwork gets really messy and his lower half is not synced with his brain. And when you don't sync it with processing, that can be a real struggle. And that is where he struggles. He struggles when he sees something down the field, making a proper throw or being able to get synced up in time to make that throw within that timely manner. That's a problem for Drake May. Now, is that fixable? I really think it is, because you can drill footwork like crazy, but when you have the ability to operate quick game at an elite level, and I think that's the key. He's operates quick game at an elite level. I will take that guy 10 out of 10, considering he has one of the best arms in the class. He has a great deep ball. He's shown the propensity to be able to throw outside of structure and throw on the move. He looks like a quarterback. He feels like a quarterback. You just need to iron out the kinks. And I think a lot of the kinks were the North Carolina offense. The offensive scheme stunk. They did not have good scramble drill. Like when in the NFL, when you see your quarterback scrambling, what do? You run back to the football and try to get open for your quarterback. North Carolina kind of blocked down the field, almost expecting Drake May to run. That's a very hard one to parse out. So when you look at all those things, every ounce and every detail matters. And you have to contextualize looking at the deep metrics, the analytics, because looking like, oh, he is so much more accurate under pressure. Well, why? Critically think, ask yourself why. Go answer the question by watching those plays and seeing, okay, is he just getting under pressure a little bit and he's already in the process of throwing it, but it really hasn't impacted him? Is it the situation around him is propping him up or holding him back? There's always an answer to why there isn't one of those analytics. And you have to be able to answer it yourself. And that's why for me, Drake May is QB1. And I think it's close, but not that close.
Is there enough of a difference? All right, we moved up to 3, right? Mm-hmm. And it cost us our first next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Say if we traded up to 4 or 5 and snagged J.J. McCarthy instead, what is the difference in the play of May and losing that extra first rounder versus McCarthy and most likely not losing that extra first rounder?
I think May's ceiling substantially higher. I also think and Gary mentions that he reminds him of Bledsoe. When he throws deep, I think that's an apt comparison, but he's so much more athletic and so much more willing to create outside of structure and is much better at creating outside of structure than Bledsoe ever was. Bledsoe was kind of a statue. And I don't mean that as an insult. That's just kind of how quarterbacks were made in the 1990s. You weren't asked to be mobile. Mobile was almost a bad thing in like the 80s and 90s. So Bledsoe went first overall. He was viewed as the prototypical pocket passer, and he played the game that way. Now, May can throw the ball down the field, and he can create. And I think when people are having the conversation of May versus Caleb Williams, Williams' game thrives when he creates. May wants to beat you from the pocket. Williams doesn't want to do that nearly as much, but he's so good outside of structure where, okay, I can live with that. But you want to be able to balance that out a little bit more. So with May, I just think the ceiling is so incredibly high. You have to iron some things out. But his situation in North Carolina was very frustrating. And something that an evaluator said on Twitter earlier today, there is a difference between what the media and fans think versus what the NFL thinks, because the NFL really tries to just go straight off traits and doesn't worry so much about production, because they want to be like, how can I coach you up to make you your best? Versus, hey, this guy dominated college football. Well, that doesn't matter in the NFL. Can you dominate in the NFL, and how are we going to get you there? Those are the questions that need to be asked. So for me, I have May an entire tier above J.J. McCarthy, but I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, McCarthy's a bad selection at 4th or 5th overall. I just would not take him above Drake May. I don't know if I would take him above Jaden Daniels. Daniels ranks much higher on my board than McCarthy does, but is he a better fit for the Vikings? I don't have an answer for that either.
Well, that leads to Chris asked, how much do the skills of the receivers around the QB influence who we get. Do some wide receivers jive better with some QBs and their skill sets? You talked about Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, I think, is fantastic. I'd love to have him. But does he fit? I think our wide receivers would do fine. But I don't think he fits as well to KOC's system. KOC would have to change the offense around more than he would with May or McCarthy. What do you think? Do the wide receiver skill set matter in the type of quarterback you're picking? Or I'll add to that, does the coach's system, preferred system, matter?
I think it matters more to build the wide receivers around the quarterback than it does to pick the quarterback for the wide receivers. Because you need a quarterback to be able to max out somebody's skill set. Like, Romo Dunze is so good at the contested catches. Michael Penix Jr. is the perfect quarterback for him because of how his ball placement was and being able to get it in the proper spots so Dunze could make those plays. I think you want to cater to your quarterback and not cater to wide receivers, because I think wide receivers are a little bit more malleable as a general construct than a quarterback is. Because Odunze can do more than just the contested catch stuff, but somebody who's got great ball placement is going to maximize what he brings to the table. And a quarterback that has a great deep ball, a lot of guys can run deep balls, but you're not going to be like, hey, I have Tyreek Hill. I have to have a quarterback with a big arm. I have to have the next Josh Allen. No, you can maximize him in so many different ways where he's actually works great with a quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa, because of how that timing and anticipation and just utilizing space in such an elite way, I think that matters a lot. So I would build around the quarterback rather than picking a quarterback for my wide receivers.
I got you, but we have wide receivers established, two of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would want to make sure whatever quarterback I pick, that they're capable of connecting, that it works. And I should say two wide receivers and one tight end.
So for me, I think that's about chemistry, not about drafting a skill set. I don't think, if you were to look at all four of these guys, I don't think any of them is a significantly better or worse fit for what Addison and Jefferson bring to the table. Same with Hockenson. It's more about how can you build and develop that chemistry, which is something that just happens over time. So I don't think a guy like Caleb Williams has a better skill set than J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels more than Drake May, vice versa, any of that. Those two have skill sets in Addison and Jefferson that are so malleable that I don't think it matters.
Just the difference of you've got Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels are more likely to take off and run versus let the route set up. And we know KOC likes long setting up routes. At least he did with Kirk Cousins. That would push me to the guys that are willing to sit back there and still be accurate and set up the route and run if they have to, right, and be good at that. And that would put me in the May-McCarthy side versus the Williams-Daniels side. Now, I'll take any of the four. Trust me, I'd be happy. Happier than all get out. We'll be celebrating on draft night. But
yeah. I will say, I think Caleb Williams, I do think he tries to make the SportsCenter top 10 a little too much with his play style. But watching his film, there was a lot less of that than I thought, because his receivers couldn't get open consistently, and the route combinations that they were running, that offense was atrocious. So half the time when he's scrambling, there's literally nowhere to throw the football. And to me, I don't necessarily see that as he wants to run at nearly as much as I did before, especially during live viewings. But that's why I always say the All-22 is so important, because you see things that you wouldn't be able to see on broadcast. You have to be able to have that context to be able to pair with everything because it matters a lot.
Oh, it does. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You've got to be able to know how these guys are and how they are as leaders. Know them as a person. And that's the Vikings are going to get in the interviews.
Yep. All right. We talked plenty about the quarterback position. Let's take a look at what we can do here moving forward. But first, I'm going to answer Gary's question. Who is the best leader? Could not tell you. I have not had extensive conversations with any of these guys. None of these guys were at the Senior Bowl. I did not go to the Combine. Hopefully next year I'll be at the Combine. And if we get more subscribers and more members to the channel, more super chats, maybe I can get to the Combine next year. Wink, wink. But there's so many things that go into what makes a great leader. Danielle Hunter is a great leader. But he wasn't a loud talker. He was quiet, and he was lead by example. Some guys are boisterous in how they lead. Very vocal, very rah-rah in your face.
Everson Griffin versus Danielle Hunter is a prime example.
Everyone has a different leadership style, and everyone gels with teammates in situations better or worse than others. I don't have the intel to be able to answer that question, so I'm going to say I just don't know. And if anybody says that this person is a better leader than another person, then either they know both of them extensively or they're full of shit. So just be prepared for that. You may see, the anonymous scout tropes, they all have agendas. And you're not going to know if that agenda is pure and they just want to get the right information out, or if they want a guy to fall, or if they don't like a guy. So anybody, like, if you were to be like, hey, if they're talking about Spencer Rattler versus Caleb Williams, and that guy coached both of them, then maybe you could listen, because they have experiences coaching both players, seeing how they lead a huddle, seeing how they lead a team. Then I could take some credence with it. But unless they've worked with all the players, it's really hard to be able to say yes or no to any of that. And that's part of the difficulties of it, is you have to be able to make those estimates based on talking to each individual player's coaches and teammates, and then compare that data to, like, if I want to compare Caleb Williams and Drake May, I'm going to talk to Caleb Williams' coaches and teammates. Then I'm going to talk to Drake May's coaches and teammates and grade them each individually and then compare it to each other and figure out who I would want more on my football team based on a leadership standpoint. I think it's a very fair question, Gary. I just don't think any of us are truly apt to answer it with any form of conviction. I will say, seeing quite a few people talking about me and Thor and going at it about Drake May and JJ McCarthy, spoiler alert, tomorrow on Purple Daily, we will be going at it back and forth talking about these guys. And I'm working on getting Thor on the channel to break down these quarterbacks with me and kind of talking through it and figuring out how we can best utilize it on this show. So don't worry, there will be plenty of Tyler and Thor content, but it's
good.
You'll just wait a little bit.
Hey, we've been sitting there on the clock. We'd have been passed a long time ago, but we're sitting there at pick 108 in the fourth round. Who do you want?
Let's scroll down a little bit. Let's take a look at how deep the board is right now. We've got some interesting players. Chris Abrams-Drain at corner is interesting, but I also think the Vikings addressed it enough with Shaq Griffin. I know it's a one-year deal. God, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is there. I love him. I may just say screw it and take Jarvis Brownlee Jr. And Cam Hart's there too. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Screw it, Dave. We're going to take Cam Hart, cornerback, Notre Dame. Here's why I'm taking Cam Hart. And this is hilarious because I literally just said, hey, we don't have to rush cornerback because we just got Shaq Griffin. Cam Hart is an interesting prospect in that He's 6'3", 204 pounds, moves very fluid, runs a 4.5, has nearly 33-inch arms. He's big, can play man coverage, can play press, can play off. You can ask him to do a little bit of everything. And coming into this team, he does not have to play right away. And I think that's a massive, massive win for the Vikings to make sure that he does not have to play right away. And you can really develop that skill set. And if he's good enough, throw him in there. Who cares? Kind of like what they did with Mekhi Blackmon. If he earns it, put him in. If he's not ready, that's okay. It's a fourth round pick. It's a good spot for a developmental player. And the Vikings are going to have holes at cornerback next year. Theoretically, Byron Murphy Jr. is a free agent, and so is Shaq Griffin. Byron Murphy Jr. is probably coming back next year. But I have Cam Hart one spot below Jarvis Brownlee Jr., but the size and length that Cam Hart possesses to me, he just feels like a Minnesota Viking. And wouldn't shock me if either him or Jarvis Brownlee end up a Viking in round four, if they make it that far, because I have second round grades on both of them. All right. I saw Dave was looking at Cooper Beebe, the Kansas State guard. I am a big Cooper Beebe guy. I think he's plenty athletic, and he also has kind of that Mahler mentality. I don't think he was as good as Dalton Risner coming out, but I think he's a better fit for what the Vikings want to do than Risner was. Risner just isn't the athlete that you need him to be as a run blocker. And to me, that's why he's not signed, because he just, when you ask him to climb to the second level, he can't do it. He can't do it like Ezra Cleveland did. Now, Ezra Cleveland has special movement skills, but Ed Ingram can climb.
Ridden by the crowd, we're taking Beebe.
When Risner was climbing, he would just miss. He couldn't get there quick enough, and he would linebackers would cut right in front of him. It just wasn't working. And the pass blocking was great, but the run blocking just was not good enough. So that's why he's not signed. And I think he wants like $8 to $10 million, which is about starting level guard money, and the Vikings aren't going to give him that. No, I'd feel more comfortable with like Blake Brandel at guard, and I like his movement skills well enough. I don't think he's the greatest athlete, but he can climb to the second level. He just struggles with speed rushers as a tackle. But climbing, I am very comfortable with him running in a straight line. So that you get him some competition. I would prefer a veteran guard to come in and provide even more competition. But if Brandel starts at left guard on week one, I'm not panicking. I don't love that he's going to be my starter all year, but I'm not panicking either.
Well, and I think when it comes to Risner, because he's asking for as much money as he is, I think that would screw with the compensation pick formula if we signed him prior to the draft. I think that's because of his flaw in the run game, which is quite pronounced. It would be best for the Vikings to wait, for Kwesi to wait till after the draft when the contract value doesn't matter towards the compensation picks whatsoever. And then if he's still available at that time, they can bring him in for $6 or $8 million or whatever. And then he could be part of that competition for that left guard spot. And if he wins out, great. If he doesn't, if BB beats him in practice, then BB gets the job. However it works, or if Brandel wins it, great. I want competition, and I want guys that have the ability to grow and become good offensive linemen. And if BB's it, if Brandel's it, great. Happy for it.
Yeah. Let's take a look at some of these guys here. There isn't a ton, and this is going to be where the difficult conversations come in. Day three stinks compared to past years because NIL has kept people around in the college game a lot longer. And because they're keeping them around, well,
that and the last COVID.
It means a lot less players in the pool. So kind of taking a look at this, there's not a ton of guys that I really, really love. We just got our offensive linemen, so we're probably not going that route at this point. We might consider it later on. I think I want to go up to wide receiver Taj Washington out of USC. He's a little bit smaller. He's going to come in. I think he's like 5'10", 180-ish pounds. 5'10", 175. Yeah, I mean, he's a similar size to Jordan Addison, but he can zoom and he plays bigger than his size. He's great with the ball in his hands after the catch. And as a third receiver, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not saying he'd be a third receiver right away, but you could develop him into a third receiver. And you can use him in the return game. And I think that this would be a nice addition to the wide receiver room and extra competition. Because Jalen Naylor may never be anything. You can't count on Naylor to be anything at this point. So I would go Taj Washington here. And I know it'd be nice to get a defensive tackle. Anthony's saying Tyler Davis. I'm not the biggest Tyler Davis guy. I don't have a full report on him yet, but the little bit I've seen, it's like, he's okay. But I haven't seen enough to say, like, hey, I love this guy. But I know Taj Washington goes zoom, zoom. And I know that he's a really good football player. M. Sullivan says Brandel's deal says he's getting a shot at left guard. To me, Brandel's deal says that he is the sixth offensive lineman. He's the first off the bench. I don't think that means he's getting a shot guaranteed at left guard. But right now, he's the starting left guard based on what's on the roster.
Hey, okay. I love the competition in camp. Let him win that position.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying that it's the money he got doesn't signal anything about starter to me.
Oh.
Because $3 million in today's cap environment, 10 years ago, is like $1.5 million. Like, it's just not that much. All right, let's take a look here. The one guy that stands out to me, and especially in a Brian Flores defense, is James Williams from Miami. He played safety, but he's 6'4", 235, and he's probably a linebacker at the next level. Now, one of the more famous safety to linebacker transitions in recent memory, you may have heard of him, Dave. Whoa. Brian Urlacher.
Mm-hmm.
Played safety, went to middle linebacker, Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that James Williams is going to have that trajectory, but you can do it. And I think with his size and the movement skills that he has, I think would be great for a linebacker. And you can keep him in interesting situations. But
his size, he could put on weight.
Well, yeah, but he's 235. You don't really need him to put on a lot of extra weight. He's already a good size.
6'5", 215.
Okay, at the comp or at Senior Bowl, he was try and pull it up. I think he was 235.
Okay.
Because the tough part about PFF, and not to say PFF is bad, they don't update a lot of these weights.
Well, you got to think they're working on 500 plus players usually. And they're trying to update each one as they go, and they've only got a limited staff to do that. But when it comes out at the end, they've got a heck of a draft guide.
Yeah. 6043, so 6'4 and 3/8, 230 pounds at Senior Bowl. And I thought he was a chiseled 230. So, I mean, he could put on weight if you really want him to, but I don't think you have to have him put on weight because I think at that size, I think he's fine. He's not 220. And to me, that's the biggest deal. You'd like him to be 240, but I think you can live with it being a little bit smaller in that sense.
Okay, so we're all going right. James Williams.
James Williams.
Easy name.
Yes.
Two first names.
I know, right? Okay. So you still need to click James Williams, Dave.
Oh, I thought I did. Come on, click.
Let's answer a couple questions here quick. Gaetano Amato asked the wide receiver clone, that's Debo. It's Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. I don't think the Vikings have a shot at getting him now because they don't have a day two pick. But if he's there in round four, I will be yelling about it on this live draft stream that the Vikings need to get Malachi Corley. I love him. I love him. Okay. We have a few picks left. Let's try and use them as best we can. Dave, let's scroll down a little bit. A lot of Michigan boys. Holy crap.
To say.
All right. So let's stop here. The Troy running back, Kamani Vital. So he's really good. If you've ever seen the movie Moneyball, they always talk like, well, why is he available? Well, Chad Bradford, the submarine pitcher, his elbow would dip under his knee when he threw, but he was a good pitcher. He just threw really weird. Kamani Vital is a very good running back, and he's slightly under 5'8", but he's 215 pounds, and it doesn't matter for him when he's pass blocking because he's small enough. He just out-leverages you, and he's strong, and he's got great technique, and he's really good running between the tackles. He can run in man gap power concepts and zone concepts well. I like Kamani Vital, and I would take him here. I think it's a good add to your running back room to continue to bolster the position, and he's explosive enough, along with being able to do some of the pass-down utility. So Kamani Vital, the running back from Troy, is going to be our next pick.
Okay, a little guy.
He's little, but he's not little. I mean, people are talking about Blake Corum going in round two, and Blake Corum is smaller than Vital is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think Corum's tiny.
I also don't think Corum's that good. When I watch Blake Corum, he's right now my running back 5. I gave him a 4th round grade. I actually have him behind a guy who has, to my knowledge, never actually started a college game, Isaac Garendo. He was the guy who ran 4.33 at running back and just tested out of his mind. But he was also behind a lot of really talented running backs, so it was a kind of a difficult proposition. Michael, I am going to be at the Purple Daily draft party doing content from the stage. So if you have a chance to say hi, please do. When I mentioned the draft stream, we're going to be streaming day two and three. Day one, we may have something when I get home, depending on how tired Dave is and how potentially drunk I am, because I'll probably be having a few beers on stage.
Dave is, just depending on what quarterback we take. And if you want to know, I'll be hopping from channel to channel within the Viking sphere. So one bar,
okay. Up,
I guess, Ted and Drew, etc.
All right. Not exactly a lot of high-end talent here, but we're in round 7. One guy I want to prioritize, Texas wide receiver Jordan Whittington. A do-it-all player for Texas, has done things without a lot of ego, played some running back, played some wide receiver. He's going to project to be a great special teams guy. He's a high-effort player, and this is a guy that I would want to bring in to my room. I also think he could potentially be a power slot. He's just a very good football player, and I don't think there's a ton of high upside with him, but sometimes you just got to draft guys who are good football players that'll just do grimy stuff for you, do special teams, block on running downs, that kind of thing. And I think Whittington can do a lot of that. He did it in college. And that's kind of how I would prioritize things. Take guys who will make your roster on the back end, and maybe you can develop them. You don't always want to take home run shots because it's not always going to be a thing. You're not always going to have these home run shot kind of picks. So Jordan Whittington from Texas. And then we'll have one more pick before we wrap it up here today. It's a difficult proposition to have some of this because the latter picks, They're tough. There's not exactly a lot of great talent.
And we missed out on a big, fat, round belly at nose tackle.
Who?
So that we need to stick with Harrison Phillips there.
Well, let's take a look. Keith Randolph Jr. I don't think is very good.
Well, we're in round 7. I don't expect anything here, but we can go to all the.
Oh, there he is, Dave. There's our nose tackle from Florida Atlantic, Evan Anderson. I got a 5th round grade on him. I think he's really good. Now the weight is going to tell you 356. He weighed in at the Shrine Bowl at 320. And he is a very good athlete for his size. He doesn't he's a nose tackle. He can handle double teams really well. He can stack and shed. He can do the peak thing. This is nose tackles are severely under prioritized, undervalued.
Appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're appreciated once you're in the NFL, but getting there, they're not. Evan Anderson is a guy that I would target on day 3 all year long. So let's do it. Evan Anderson to finish off this NFL draft. And there you have it. 7-round NFL draft as I stretch because it is hard work mock drafting, let me tell you.
Bulldog says we need to find a Josh Metellus of this year. Bulldog, Josh Metellus, the quote defensive player because he plays so many positions, that would be wonderful. He's a heck of a find. And their servers are slow. There we go. Drake May, A+. Cam Hart, B-. Cooper Beebe, A-. Taj Washington, B-. James William, A-. Kamani Vital, they disagree, C. Jordan Whittington, B. Evan Anderson, B+. Overall grade, A+.
Yeah, it's a good draft. I would be happy with this draft.
That would be a good draft.
I'd be very happy with this draft. And if you can get your franchise quarterback and then any production out of day 3, I think that is a massive, massive win. That is our show. We will be back if there's some breaking news over the course of the next few days. Skull searches, we're still trying to figure out how we're going to do that because talking about some of the higher end prospects for Vikings from Vikings perspective does not make a ton of sense. So we're gonna try and figure out how we're gonna prioritize those. Maybe I'll try and get some guests on and try and maximize like different viewpoints that way. And then don't forget Sunday, Two Old Bloggers is back after a 1 week hiatus because
at least I'll be on the show. I think I do believe Darren still enjoying himself on the beach and getting too much sun and hopefully having a great time chasing his bride all around. So, and seeing the monkeys and having a good time.
There you go.
There will be a Two Old Bloggers show this weekend. Yes. And we're going to have a NFC North Who Will Be King podcast drop probably on Friday. And you'll get to hear us grade free agency.
We're going to have a lot of fun stuff here moving forward. 36 days till the NFL draft and the Vikings hopefully find their franchise quarterback. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. I'm Tyler. He's Dave. Skull Vikings, everybody.
Skull Vikings. Subscribe and ring the bell to get notifications. It helps us grow this community that we all love, our Minnesota Vikings. And on behalf of Tyler Fornes and myself, Dave Stefano, thank you so dearly for watching The Real Forno Show. Skull, everyone!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This has been a Vikings First and Skull production, part of the Fans First Sports Network.